Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Fun with Flame. I'm your host, Danny the Flame. I just came back from seeing Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. And I gotta say, shit movie? Now, it's not bad. It's not a bad movie. But realistically, it's just rather on the bland side. And frankly, very dumb. The movie itself, a quick little plot summary, is that essentially Scott's on top of the world ever since the events from Endgame. He's on top of the world. He's doing fine. He wrote a book. Classic comedy. Only then to discover that his daughter essentially is kind of on the wilder side. And then the story itself kind of gets incredibly pretentious from this angle because much like current MCU fashion, you have it to where the daughter is doing a bunch of reckless, stupid shit. And then at the same time, blaming Scott for not indulging in reckless, stupid shit or not using his abilities to just go around mindlessly and blindly saving people, which also doesn't make any sense because he's just trying to come back to normal. And again, you have to remember, while she grew up 5 years without Scott, Scott was stuck in the quantum realm for 5 years, helpless. And whether not knowing whether or not she was alive or dead, only then to come back to a world where he found out that essentially everything was fucking fucked up. So that's not taken into consideration with her. It's only the fact is you kind of got that hippie girl mindset. It's literally the exact same thing as the daughter from the Shaggy Dog movie. If you ever seen that movie, gotta see the classic one, the second one. I believe it's the first one I was in black and white. I mean, the first one I was in color, not the original black and white one. That one. And then the Tim Allen one is also a good find. There's a lot of Shaggy Dog movies, but I digress. You kind of had her on that hippie mindset where essentially it's like, you need to do this. And it's like, but I'm not. And it was like, but if you won't, who will? Like, why don't you? Like, oh, there's so many people you can help. I can't just leave helpless people alone. That's not how I am. That's not how I was. And it's like, it just doesn't track with this character, not for the daughter, but for Scott. To attack him this way makes absolutely no sense. He's someone who generally isn't a grand scientist. He doesn't own a corporation or anything like that. He did what he did, and now he's just trying to live a normal life. And who's to say that he doesn't deserve something like that? Yes, he's capable of being Ant-Man and doing all that, but again, you have to remember one of the major issues within the other Ant-Man movies is the fact that that's not his technology. That's Hank Prim's technology. So the fact that you just kind of have it as this weird dependency with him, whereas like he's like, I'm capable of using the suit at any point in time, whenever I want, for any use or whatever, without any repercussions, when it generally was such a big hot button issue within other movies, just kind of dulls the concept of how dangerous and how powerful the Prim Protocols were. Hell, I mean, you see him and the Wasp use it willy-nilly as if there's nothing wrong with it. When literally in like the first Ant-Man, it was like the overexposure to the Prim Protocols literally makes it to where you're not even able to use the suit anymore, which is why Hank Prim doesn't wear the suit anymore. So it became weird that essentially that whole mindset was just like pushed away. But hell, they did a lot of things that were weird. I believe in the original one, the fact that he would stay small and hit something would have a major impact rather than him needing to turn big in order for that hit to actually register as a very powerful punch. Yet now it seems like he has to de-shrink in order for the punch to actually connect. Otherwise, it's just like this little tiny thing. I'm not exactly sure exactly like how that went. I could be mistaken. I haven't seen the original movie in a very long time, but whatever. I mean, that's just a small little whatever for me. But upon discovering that essentially the daughter is all hippified, because again, in MCU fashion, all women are right and all men are just these stupid bumbling idiots, regardless if their name is the main, if they are the main character. So then you come to find out that essentially, they didn't even state whether or not Scott and what's her name that's playing the Wasp? Hope. Scott and Hope are actually married, which kind of makes no sense that they aren't. But they didn't specify if they were or they were not. But essentially from there, you kind of have it to where the family was having a dinner. So you got Hank Prim and his family with Scott and the daughter. The daughter calls them Hank Prim grandpa, and then the wife, you know, Michelle Pfeiffer, calls her grandma and is like, yeah, that's cool. And I just, because of that, I wish that, you know, they were married, but they didn't specify that or even like give notice to it, which I felt that they should, especially considering later on in the movie when they tried to have this big little love moment that kind of fell deaf. But I'll get to that in a minute. But essentially, you had them all having dinner, them doing shrinking shit, just like on the first one, where it was like, all right, there's an overabundance of this stuff, but it kind of doesn't make any sense. But, you know, that's just who they are, because they can shrink shit, so whatever. But then the movie kind of turned into a very odd series of circumstances, where essentially you kind of, where they had it where Michelle Pfeiffer character kept shit hidden from them when it comes to the quantum realm. So even when Hope tries to ask Michelle Pfeiffer questions about it, she just been standoffish and never told her about it, which is one of the major things within this movie, where essentially you have a bunch of women who know shit and they just decide not to talk. It is incredibly dumb and incredibly stupid, but it's a forced plot point to keep the plot going. But ultimately, if they just were to have spoken about this shit that they were doing beforehand, none of what they went through would have ever happened. And it's never rectified, nor is there any consequences for what happened. They just kind of sit there and feel sorry for themselves without actually losing anything. And it's incredibly terrible, but it's so ridiculous that that actually happens. I mean, like, the fact that all of them, like, every single one just does something where it's like, dude, if you just would have opened your mouth earlier, this would not be a problem. This would not be an issue. We could be able to get over this situation easily. But people are now dead because you wanted to keep a secret, which ultimately didn't even matter. Like, what exactly was the need of keeping this a secret when generally the knowledge of how dangerous the situation was would have kept people away? Oh, that was so stupid. And it's like, it was a bad plot device, because it doesn't work when it's just like, all right, thinking logically, if you would have told us how dangerous the quantum realm was, then we would have never tried to be in contact with it or want to do anything with it, thus leaving it alone, thus keeping us safe. But that's not what happened. Hell, it also doesn't make any sense that so much things were going on within the quantum realm when you had it that Scott was trapped there for 5 years. That also doesn't track that you had this entire huge society going around and like they just so happened to go exactly in the same spot where Michelle Pfeiffer was, so she can indulge in all this knowledge that she had from being stuck in a quantum realm, when it's like, well, when Scott was there, he was in emptiness, he was in nothingness, so whatever. And like, they just kind of had these moments of just like, wow, that was really fucking convenient, but you have no explanation for this shit whatsoever. And honestly, it's like, you just have so many moments that are just drug out and ridiculously ridiculous because of the fact that the women in these movies just didn't open a mouth and spoke. How that's just bad. It's just really, really bad. But getting back to the plot, essentially you had Scott's daughter, like when I was saying, like one of the dumber moments of the series, that essentially you had it to where it's known that she has frequently been arrested and whatnot within cops and has run in with the law, and she just does shit. And then essentially Hank Prim and his family would bail her out without telling Scott. This is one of easily the dumbest aspects of this movie, where essentially they make it seem as if the daughter is totally cool and totally okay doing her own thing and she's always right, while Scott was more so looked upon as an idiot to the family. Now, this is trekking over from literally the very first Ant-Man as well as the second Ant-Man movie, where it's even outrageously like apparent in the second one. It's like so bad in the second one. That's a really bad movie. But it following over to where essentially you have these people indulging, as well as even Hank Prim making a suit for Scott's daughter to grow and shrink and shit like that, and giving her access to their technology as well. Unbelievably irresponsible. And not only that, but it's something to where it's like, you're putting and jeopardizing her life, putting her in danger, as well as exposing her to chemicals that generally you have already stated you shouldn't have an overexposure to at a very young age, but you're allowing her to use it in whatever way, shape, or form she feels that she should, in which case it's also incredibly dumb because of the fact that she's misusing it to do rebellious shit, which also doesn't make any goddamn sense. You're able to grow and shrink shit on a whim, and you open up the movie showcasing that the daughter is divulging new ways of helping out plant life and grows and like tree growth and shit like that. The idea of being able to expand and shrink things automatically makes it to where world hunger is no longer a thing, right? And it's like, if you can grow shit to exponential sizes, there is no more world hunger. To buy property and be able to make small miniature houses and then grow them larger, there should be no homeless issue. To have it to where you want to slow burn some type of progression concept, and it's like, hey, that doesn't work within the confines of the science that you're using. It made more sense when it was a dangerous substance that essentially they tried to keep under wraps because of the fact that it could be misused. It put a structure around using the prim particles because of the fact that, hey, overexposure to it is dangerous. Realistically, a lot of the times in which he did it, he had the bad memories of losing his wife. You also had the fact that it was more so using it for like secret missions and things like that to help people. But it was something that was needed to be kept as a close secret because you saw the destructive capabilities that it's had of someone being able to misuse it. Thus, literally, the very first goddamn movie. Hell, the first people who wanted to use the prim particles were Hydra. That is what we saw in the very first movie. So the fact that now it's like, oh, well, we got the company. It's all willy-nilly doing whatever. And there's no repercussions for that. It's, again, a common theme within this movie where it's like, they're just doing whatever the fuck they want now. But all of the issues and all of the problems as to why this was never the case in the very beginning just seem to magically disappear. There is no reason as to why this stuff wouldn't still be considered dangerous simply because Thanos is no longer apparent. Thanos was never the problem with the stuff to begin with. So the fact that like now that Thanos is gone, it's okay for the prim particles can be everywhere and anywhere doesn't make any sense. It doesn't track. It just doesn't work. So you have it to where the daughter literally was arrested in the beginning because she was like, they were removing homeless people. It's not their fault that they lost their homes during the blip. It's like, well, again, why isn't it that there's like a government sanctioned thing to help out these people? I mean, we saw that there was like a homeless shelter in New York being christened by Aunt May within Spider-Man. And also that didn't make any sense. But the fact that like, well, now the prim particles are free use and like they're using them to help people and whatnot. Okay, why hasn't there been an abundance of brand new homes and housing projects done in order to help people? Easily, you can make a fucking 3D model of a house using a 3D printer, and then boom, you could just throw one of your little bombs at it that makes it grow big, and then now it's a house, if it's so safe to use now. And if that's my general thought upon first seeing and hearing about this bullshit, but at the same time you're trying to build up Cassie, Scott Lang's daughter, to being negative towards Hank, towards Scott not doing anything, then that's one of those things that would pop into my head. Well, why aren't you utilizing the prim particles this way? Why aren't you trying to use it to help people this way? And essentially, you could have gave the opposition of, well, there's a lot of red tape going on. The particles are still dangerous. You just kind of want to rush in to help people, but you don't understand the consequences that can come with that. Thus why the prim particles have to be used very, very carefully, because we don't want it to fall into the wrong hands, but at the same time, we're trying to help people. That could have easily been a situation where it's like, hey, the daughter's trying to help, but she's impetuous. And then with Scott, and it's like, he wants to help as well, but he's very cautious. And he's cautious because of all that he lost and what he could have lost within those 5 years during the during Thanos and Endgame and everything like that. And then she's impetuous because she just wants to prove herself and all that, because she's young and she doesn't understand. Boom. Easy, simple conflict between the characters without basically sacrificing stupid on either side. But instead, this movie does not. And again, I just thought this shit up right now. But you had it, but again, the most arduous thing that they did was that essentially have it to where Hank Pym and his family were enabling Cassie to do whatever it is that she was doing in terms of her ventures of just doing crazy wild shit. And it doesn't make any sense considering, again, the very first movie where Hank Pym didn't even allow his daughter to wear a shrink suit because he feared that what happened to his wife could happen to her. Yet, for some reason, it's totally okay to endanger Scott's kid, let alone the fact that Scott's kid isn't someone that they would know very well. I mean, let's not forget, they only knew them on like the off-brand chance from after the blip incident. So after the whole, well, the dusting incident, I hate saying the blip, that's so stupid. But after the dust, after the dusting of everyone, they then came back, and then you only got, they really didn't explain exactly how much time. If they did, I wasn't paying attention, but it has to be more than at least, probably, I wouldn't say more than 2 years within the span in which Endgame happened in this world. If anything, probably like a couple of months or 1 year. But so it hasn't been that long, and yet for whatever reason, it's perfectly fine for them to endanger Cassie's life at the expense of it being kept hush-hush for Scott. While at the same time, this is someone who essentially understands the meaning of losing a family member. This is someone who didn't want to endanger his own daughter, as well as someone who knows the risk and the dangers of overusing the PEM particles or being misused, especially to be very careful about it when you didn't even want someone like any Stark getting a hold of it, let alone a hormonal teenager who essentially is trying to go against daddy or to go fight the system because she wants to be rebellious or whatever. That shit doesn't make any sense. And then you had the situation happen in front of Scott Lang, and rather than having it to where he's confrontational and then you build up a different divide between him and the Prim family, to where it's like they're not understanding that essentially he went through something totally different than they did. They were dust during the whole Endgame incident. He suffered alone in the fucking quantum realm by himself for 5 years, only to then come back out and know that all of them were dead. All right, or to believe that all of them were dead. Then he had to suffer through the goddamn battle that happened at the end of everything with an Endgame, as well as going through time and shit like that. So his whole ordeal during that situation is completely and utterly different than their ordeal. Yes, Wasp showed up at the end during the Endgame fight for that glorious female fighting moment. Girl power is so gay. But that doesn't change the fact that the situation that Scott had to deal with and what he went through is completely and totally and utterly different, as well as his care and his need of protecting his daughter more than the Primps, who generally kind of sees her as like, yeah, it's a young girl that we all like, but it ain't your kid. She's not your kid at all. You already look down on the father as if he's an idiot, and yet for some reason you believe and trust this little girl to do shit. On what fucking grounds do you have the audacity to do something like that, especially with not even talking to her father, whom the movie immediately bitches up and makes him just agree and sympathize with whatever it is that they're doing? He doesn't command respect. He doesn't sit there and tries to talk her out of doing the things that she's doing. He just immediately is like, I want you to do whatever it is, but just kind of differently. And it's such a lame thing that happens because it just makes absolutely no type of divide between the character. It's totally fine for you to do shit that's breaking the rules, regardless of if you're trying to do good. And it's like, no, it isn't. And the movie even has like a bad line of her being like, no, I messed up. And he's like, hey, my whole life wouldn't be what it is if I didn't make mistakes or I didn't mess up. And it's like, that's an okay line, but essentially she messed up on a realm of damn near releasing a fucking intergalactic conqueror, the fucking person who has killed trillions of lives. You messed up in the sense of you tried to steal so you can make money so you can be able to see your kid. Totally different circumstances of essentially just not thinking things through. You have done things in order to do the right thing and try to justify your actions, but essentially they have literally ruined your life. It cost you your marriage, it cost you time with your daughter, and then even after that it got even worse as you became a fugitive on the law just simply because you were trying to help Captain America. You of all people should understand the difficulty of, yes, I want to do the right thing, but at the same time I don't want to sacrifice the good in my life anymore because of the fact that I want to do the right thing. That's all well and good, but you have to think of a better way of handling this. And that's all that this movie could have gave in terms of a message, and it would have been fantastic. But they didn't. And it just really falls on deaf ears as you just have him get pushed around by a family that looks down on his intelligence and looks down on him as well. And you have his daughter just simply being left off to the races to do whatever it is that she wants to do, simply because the movie demands that she is woman, hear her roar. When it doesn't make any sense. Hell, you even, like, even after the fact, they try to sit there and explain that she would be smart enough to be able to dive deep or figure out different things within the quantum realm and, like, learn their technology and shit like that. When, again, doesn't track. you haven't been around that long. You haven't done stuff. And it's like they just gave away so much bullshit to sit there and go, oh no, this totally explains how she would be able to keep up with all this information and technology. Even Scott shouldn't be able to keep up and understand this much of the technology. They at least gave him a extensive engineering degree and background upon him first even meeting the Prim family. But with the daughter, it's like, you're still a baby. And just because you read a couple of notes don't mean that you're a master of this fucking field or anything like that. Let alone like when Scott, when he was able to deduce and like devise by learning and listening from Hank Prim, that he would be able to get a crash course on how to mess with this technology. But with her, it's like it was just literally, I read some notes and it's like, that don't make you a fucking genius in this shit. But that's what this movie did. It's so stupid. But so to have that type of justification behind every action that takes place within this movie was incredibly jarring and very disruptive, as it just laid down this domino effect of dumb idea after dumb idea after dumb idea that was just a causality of simply no one telling anyone the truth or being open with them. And then that wasn't even the point of the movie. That wasn't even like a lesson to be learned. And again, this is just like the first couple of minutes. I wouldn't even say more than the first 10 minutes in the movie. And it just immediately just threw off the rails. And it was like, wait a minute. How are these people who are supposed to be smart this fucking dumb? You would generally endanger the life of a young teenage girl simply for shits and giggles because you think she knows what she's doing? She doesn't. What teenager ever did know what they were doing? And all the times teenagers have ever said, I know what I'm doing, or I know how to take care of myself, has that ever truly been a factor? Has that ever been a real thing that makes any type of fucking sense? Never, never in the history of man. That has never, ever been a thing. So this is beyond idiotic and dumb to try and have and establish this when essentially it just doesn't make any fucking sense off of the jump. And I haven't even gotten to the main point of the movie yet. So, where was I? Okay, so after you have basically this bitch moment between Scott Lang and the Prim family of him just kind of kowtowing down to the fact that, yes, they endanger his daughter on multiple accounts and they give her access to technology that just realistically they kept under lock and key and felt so protective over beforehand, it just really throws you out of the loop and makes absolutely no sense. Only then for them to talk about the fact that, hey, the Hope as well as Scott, Cassie, have been messing around with building a fucking beacon that's allowing them to view and look at the quantum realm. Because who asked for that? The idea of discussing or even looking into the quantum realm itself just kind of seems moot at this point, because they got Michelle Pfeiffer's character back, which was generally the only reason that they was trying to dive deep into the quantum realm in the first place. Yet for some reason there's no justification as to why the daughter would even be fascinated or interested in this in the first place. Now they had it to where it was like, well, she was generally doing it so she could be able to locate and find him. But again, Hank Prim was someone who kept this technology and this shit under lock and key. So how the hell a young girl who don't know nothing was capable of looking into this shit without any prior knowledge or expertise or even any type of background in stealing shit before, which is literally what they did for Scott Lang in the first movie, is beyond me. He was someone who made it to where S.H.I.E.L.D., Hydra, and Tony Stark couldn't even get hold of his technology. Yet she was able to read some notes and gain some little insights so she can figure out a way to contact people within the quantum realm. Really, really, really fucking stupid. So then upon you having it have that, you then have Hank Prim kind of talking out of his ass when he's like, your daughter invented a Hubble telescope to the quantum realm. Can't you see how amazing she is? And it's like, what the fuck is going on with these movies? And it's like, I get you desperately want to have these female characters shine above everybody else. But at some point you have to understand people are not like this, let alone women. People cannot just be completely perfect. People are not without flaw. People cannot jump into a field of study and immediately master it without any prior knowledge, training, or education. And yet, for some reason, you allow this girl, this insignificant, not to be taken seriously girl, free access pass into something that she knows absolutely nothing about. Hell, how retarded is it that this movie has her have her own suit and they didn't make it another wasp suit? Like, why wouldn't she have wings and little blasters as well? Like, why wouldn't she? Literally, one of the jokes in the second movie is the fact that he was capable of doing that to the Ant-Man suit, but he chose not to because, you know, fuck Scott. But at the same time, when dealing with the daughter, now that this movie is supposed to be called Ant-Man and the Wasp, who also, the Wasp, barely in this movie, it makes no sense that Cassie wouldn't be the Wasp. But she wasn't. Stupid, stupid, stupid movie. I mean, you could at least call it Ant-Man, the Wasp, and the Daughter, and that would have made at least some type of sense, but you didn't do that. And it just went on this weird drastic scale where it's like, all right, you're trying to open up this movie with the sense that, hey, these ladies got it all together, but they didn't. So then upon finding out exactly what the daughter did to make the beacon, you then have Michelle Pfeiffer kind of lose her shit because it's like, wait a minute, you did something that reaches out as a beacon and then you get to answer back? No, you're gonna mess up stuff. And then like some shit happened and they all got sucked into the quantum realm. Whoopity-doo. And I'm not going to spoil the rest of the movie. I don't want to sit here and explain the movie because it ain't really anything interesting after this initial aspect of it. But generally speaking, that's one of those things. Like, that was the startup of this domino effect of fucking stupid. So you had it to where the constant need of Michelle Pfeiffer being scared and terrified of contacting anyone from the quantum realm was something that Hope then decided to act on. And she just, why, Mom? Like, whenever I tried to talk, she was like, why didn't you talk to me or ask me about the quantum realm before you did this? And she, I tried, but every time I try to talk about it, you just quiet and you shut up and you blah, blah, blah. And it's like, what the fuck is wrong with this movie? And then upon them getting sucked into the quantum realm or whatever, you then have it to where it was like, again, if Michelle Pfeiffer would have told these people this stuff a long time ago, they would have abandoned all nonsense of trying to dig deeper into the quantum realm because it wouldn't have made any sense. Literally, the Endgame movie happens because they were doing tests in going to the quantum realm. She had no problem with that prior, but now she has a problem with it. You people are so fucking backwards. How do you not understand how badly you fuck up in your own shit? You would look at the previous Ant movies prior to this before you make up this bullshit ass of a story. But obviously you didn't. Like, hell, this just hit me upon me thinking about it. And it's like, wait a minute. They were doing tests to try and dive deeper into the quantum realm. And let alone when they were doing shit to basically do time travel within Endgame. None of that clicked as like an issue with Kang the Conqueror or something like that. No, not at all, because you didn't think about him being the villain at this point in time. Okay, gotcha. Right, that makes sense. That makes total sense. But hey, who am I to tell you exactly how fucked up the MCU is, except for somebody who looks at the MCU and constantly talks about how fucked up it is. So you have it to where it's like, well, if Michelle Pfeiffer would have told her daughter and Hank Pym a long time ago what she went through while in the quantum realm and exactly how dangerous it is to go back there because Kang the Conqueror is stuck there, then they never would have done anything in order for them to dive deeper into the quantum realm. You know, that's not where their focus would have lied in. It would have been to make sure people couldn't get into the quantum realm or abuse that technology so make sure that Kang ever escaped. But you didn't. You kept it a secret. And then upon you actually revealing the secret, it made no sense as to why you would keep it a secret. It's not something that would spark interest within Hank Pym. It's not something that Hope would have then looked negative upon you for. It's not anything that would have made it to where it would be like, okay, well, this obviously is something that you did that was wrong and bad, so this is your fault. Or like, so you need to make up for it. Or how can we ever trust you? Like, you're obviously a different person than what we knew. Nothing on that level of interaction between Michelle Pfeiffer and Kang the Conqueror was ever present. Hell, she didn't even do anything wrong upon the movie revealing, when she finally revealed the her past when dealing with Kang the Conqueror. Which also, let's Let me clear the air with this one. So just a little side note in terms of how stupid this movie is. Michelle Pfeiffer couldn't have fallen in love and wanted to get with a black guy, but instead Bill Murray is totally cool. That's fine. I mean, she supposedly spent years with Kang trying to figure out a way to repower his little energy core. And Bill Murray, she was a freedom fighter for God knows how long. But at the same time, she was with Kang and all they ever did was just talk about shit, about her hopes, her dreams, her family and whatnot. But for some reason, when she had needs, Bill Murray was up on the table. Is that what you're telling me? Is that what's hot in the streets? That was cool. It couldn't have been the fact that she was embarrassed over the fact that she basically had a romantic connection with Kang, only to then find out that he was a monster. That would have been far more endearing and like kind of detrimental towards everything that's going on, since she spent more time with him. Is that okay? You diversified freaks. Is that something nobody wants to talk about? Okay, yeah, I'll talk about it. But all right, yeah. So it just made the movie make so less sense when it's like, okay, the idea of Kang and what was going on with him wasn't even that bad. So if they wanted to make it to where she desperately didn't want to tell her family because it would change their perception of her, then you needed to do something to where it was like she committed horrible acts with him because she was so desperate to get back home. So killing people, destroying some of the people with him, doing a bunch of bad shit, that should have came into play to where she was like, she felt horrible because of how many people she killed just so she can get back home, only then to discover that Kang had no intention of ever taking her home. He just wanted to escape. That would have been a much better concept. That would have made so much sense, as well as why she kept it such a big fucking secret, because she committed horrible acts just so she can get home. It would have worked. It would have been better than just the fact that it's like, well, why didn't you tell us? Because even the idea of saying like, well, I helped him to do enough and like he started conquering because he got his suit back, even that doesn't track in the fact of like, well, you did so much. And I was like, you've done so much. You did so much. Like you've been through a lot. Like that wasn't a story that you could tell, especially if like your whole entire mindset is that you needed to stay out of the quantum realm so he couldn't escape. So you couldn't tell us exactly why you need to stay out of the quantum realm so to make sure that he can't escape? Like, no. Like, my thing was better. And it's like, God damn it, that's so stupid. But like I said, there's multiple moments in this movie where I was like, dude, if you women would just talk, then we wouldn't have to go through this drudge of this long, overzealous, stupid explanation of shit. Or like need to try and draw out some shit that just really isn't that big of a deal or a factor. Hell, there's a part where it's like, in order for him to understand everyone in the quantum realm, you just drink this goo, and you just had Cassie yell out. She was like, Dad, drink the goo. And it's like, why don't you just go, Dad, if you drink it, you'll be able to understand them. Why not? And then you just had this long moment of them forcing the stuff down Scott's mouth. And it's like, again, if she just would have told him that, then he would have been far more acceptable to it. And then it just would have happened and have been over with. But we need to draw this out because the girls in these movies are stupid. They want them to be smart, but boy, are they fucking stupid. So, hell, we have a point where everyone goes home and then Scott has this terrible battle with Kang. I mean terrible in terms of it being one-sided. Kang was kicking his ass and I thought it was dope, but the movie itself should have been that. And Kang was just beating the shit out of him, right? And then you have it to where everyone who's capable of saving him, helping him, and want to help Scott is just a hop and a skip away from a portal to go help this person. And they don't. At the end, for some reason, the Wasp shows up and then she helps him. She also does one of those cliche dumb things of shooting a person while walking forward at the same time, which doesn't make any sense because you don't need to do that. That's kind of the point of a gun or little wrist pistols that she has. It's like, why are you moving forward? Why is every shot seems like the recoil is far more powerful than ever before? It's so goddamn stupid. But then, rather than actually having it to where this could have been anything within the movie, the portal itself disappears, and what could have been actually an endearing moment within the movie you know, if they would have built upon it correctly, is the fact that Scott and the Wasp are stuck there. And I feel as if the movie itself would have benefited a hell of a lot better if it was a factor that they were stuck there, thus leading on to the leading into more of them preparing or understanding about the threat that's coming with Kang later on. But instead, they just kind of was like, hey, I love you too. And then bam, another portal opened up. And it was like, oh, like, hey, I guess, you know, nothing bad happened. Because nothing bad happened this entire movie. And that was just really, 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 really subpar. I felt as if that moment itself was so flat. And that was one of the things I wanted to talk about. It was so bland and flat when they had that moment of her coming to save Scott and them fighting Kang together. Because of the fact that there was generally no interaction between her and Scott throughout this entire fucking movie. She was in one area, he was in the other. Mostly it was him spending time with his daughter rather than spending time with the Wasp. So trying to have it as this I love you moment just came out as really, really dull and bland, much like in the second movie, because it didn't come from anything. Rather than in the second movie, which was him trying to gain her forgiveness because he's in love with her. Within this movie, it was like, well, they love each other, but they weren't really doing anything because of that. You had a moment where she helped him and they were like able to shrink the thing together. But other than that, that was generally the only moment that they had within the movie. And if you're counting the beginning, then I'm not, because that was just a little quick montage showcasing that he was in the highlight of his life. But you easily could have had it to where the relationship kind of got skewed because of dealing with Cassie. You could have had a moment where he was able to see how much she cared about Cassie because something happened. And then it kind of changed his opinion and perception of talking to her the way that he did, where essentially she feels that, like, hey, she thinks of Cassie like a daughter just like he does. So then you can have that, as well as moments where she generally would do things to sacrifice herself to either save Scott or Cassie, which generally would have showcased that Michelle Pfeiffer feeling bad about the fact that it was like, well, all of this is generally my fault because essentially I didn't want to open my big mouth in the very beginning. But the movie did not do anything like that. Hell, let alone the movie had Kang be this all-powerful, smart, intelligent person, and he generally kept doing fucking James Bond-level evil villain stupid shit that just, it literally boiled down to the nature of fucking Austin Powers, Dr. Evil, where you would have these people being held by these two inept guards, and they literally got away. So I can't tell you, like, I was counting all the times in which these people would look at the person that's holding the gun in their holster and then wait for a moment to just jerk free and hit them in the stomach so they can get away. This happens more times than you could possibly believe and imagine. And it just kept happening to where it was like, why are they still alive? You know that they're capable of getting away. They have technology on their person that's capable of making sure they can get away within certain degrees and whatnot. And yet they were never searched. Things were never taken from him. Hell, in the very beginning, Cassie gets brought out of jail and a cop comes up to her and goes, I know you have it. And she had a cop car. And it's like, well, they didn't take her personal belongings. What if she brought a weapon? She was in holding. Like, she could have had a weapon or something like that. Because that's not how jail works. That's not how crime works. That's not how cops work. But, you know, it's funny in the movie, even though it's really, really stupid and it doesn't make any sense. And you would have Kang the Conqueror have these people who are able to shrink and grow big with different technologies that they can throw at shit that shrinks and grow big. And they wouldn't get checked. They wouldn't have their weapons removed. They wouldn't have their suits disabled. Something that actually would cause a concern for their well-being within the situation, thus needing them to hurry up and get a little, the battery pack or the prim particles or something like that. None of that. Never happens. And it's just like, well, I'm supposed to fear this guy. But I don't, because he seems really stupid. And that's generally how the movie carried his character. So, very disappointing. It's, in my earlier assessment, and like when I said that the movie itself was incredibly dumb and stupid, and it was like, yeah, it is. And ultimately, I can say that it was just incredibly, incredibly disappointing. A much better watch than the second Ant-Man movie, because all that was just a downer on Scott Lang. While with this one, this is a movie that you can sit through, but at the same time, there's nothing worth sitting through for. Nothing happens. Nothing detrimental is going on. Nothing really carries, or nothing itself even makes any goddamn sense. Hell, the notion of the movie itself is that Kang is kind of weary about what is to come, and he's preparing to stop what it is that's coming, which is himself, because it's the same fucking thing that was said within the Loki show, and that was stupid too. But you then got no sense of urgency or desperation from him. You more so got kind of the whinings of a child who just wanted to be let out because he knows what's best for everyone. When, you know, again, much like the women in this movie, he's not telling anyone anything. By just saying it's me that's going to do a whole bunch of bad, he really didn't give a clarification to sit there and constantly or to sit there and make it to where Michelle Pfeiffer might have a change of heart, or that people could understand where he's coming from, just because of the fact that it's like, well, I do all of this, but this evil that I'm doing is necessary because of the evil that is to come. And if they just would have had a moment of which he even just said those words, we would have had a whole much better movie. But instead, he'd do dumb shit like take Michelle Pfeiffer so he can talk to her for no absolute reason. For absolutely no reason. I said that backwards. But for absolutely no reason. He takes Scott Lang's daughter for absolutely no reason. He leaves these people in positions where they can easily escape for absolutely no reason. He does not kill them immediately when he's done with them for absolutely no reason. And then the movie itself just kind of ends. And like, nothing of value was lost, nothing was gained, and there was generally absolutely nothing within the movie that made you kind of care or give a shit. It had its classical Marvel movie jokes here and there, and it just had a spew of dumb, goofy shit. And it just really did not trek well, considering that it damn near felt too similar to Thor Ragnarok. And its goofy nature and take upon these characters and whatnot, like damn near exactly like Thor Ragnarok. I would say a bigger issue with this movie, though, is that upon showcasing the Quantum Realm, you just kind of had an abundance of fucking brown everywhere rather than dealing with something that was far more colorful, sparkly, and popped. You really see the deprivation of color within the CGI work that they have going on, and I just thought it was disgusting. It felt as if the color scheme that they had going for the Quantum Realm could have been a hell of a lot better, especially with all the different characters, the different creatures that they had everywhere. A brighter background and disposition, just I felt as if that would have worked in its favor to show you exactly how mythical and magical the place was actually was, how everything essentially could be one thing or another, and it's just different things would catch you off guard every like which way you were looking at it. But instead, you're just like, well, the ground is brown or this reddish gray color, and and there's nothing really that pops outside from the alien creatures that you have walking around. But other than that, it just really was dreary and drab rather than colorful and beautiful. I felt as if, like, you know, it would have benefited more if it had more of the look that the universe Dormammu was in the first Doctor Strange movie, or just something that was far more similar to how wonky the Quantum Realm looked upon the very first Ant-Man, rather than what they had going on. Because what they had going on was similar to like a little small area they had in the second Ant-Man, but it just was, you know, times a thousand. But it just all still looked uninspiring and uninteresting. They had multiple moments of them flying through the air in this majestic place, and I just felt that it was so uninspiring. It was so boring. It was so ugly of a backdrop for this movie. Just like, what even is this? Hell, it's like the movie itself wanted so hard to be like Nausicaa in the Valley of the Wind. And I guarantee you that probably was a huge inspiration from it. And if you ever seen Nausicaa Valley of the Wind, the movie itself, it benefits from the look because of what the movie is about and how terrible the world is supposed to be. But in the Quantum Realm, because of how they have everything else, it's like, well, why does this place look like this? It's so weird. It's so bad. But, you know, that's really it. I'd say realistically, the movie isn't anything to write home about. It's honestly not worth a watch. Nothing happens within this movie. Nothing takes place. Hell, not even the post-credit scene, both of them, even fucking matter. You know, if you can wait until you see this in clear quality online by, you know, any means necessary, I would do that. But if you're a MCU fan that's just itching for your next fix, most likely you really enjoy these movies and you've probably already seen it already. But for the most part, this movie is not that good. It is just really, really dumb. And at the end of it all, there's multiple moments where essentially they kind of go against their own lore, they go against their own norm, they do shit to where the suits get damaged and whatnot, and it's like, I thought they couldn't shrink or grow with the suits damaged because of the fact that it can endanger their lives, and it just, you know, it's whatever. But hell, it's there's so much that happens within this movie that's just like, all right, you know, you stop caring. You stop caring a long time ago, and whoever did this just obviously doesn't give a fuck. So why should I'd say that I understand why Rotten Tomatoes critics gave this a really bad review, but for the most part, the movie itself is just not really that enjoyable. It's an MCU watch. I'll say that, you know, something to just connect the dots if you're into that shit within the MCU for sure. But it's not anything that's worthwhile. Nothing of value was lost. Nothing was really done that spoke, you know, volumes for the character or anything like that. It's just ultimately was so uninspired. I mean, even to boil down at the end where you sat there and tried to call reference back to Scott being a fucking thief and that being a major part of the movie, just really didn't help, because it just kind of seemed like anyone could have done this. They just never did. And like, I don't understand why. Oh, and they also introduced MODOK only to immediately kill him. So do with that what you will. In beautiful MCU fashion, you know, like, let's bring in a character that everyone really likes and cares about and knows, but let's immediately kill him because why not? But these people. Hell, and I'm pretty sure a lot of people are going to bring from, they're going to draw from the reference of them, people constantly mentioning and referencing Eternity, but I think, like, that's just words that are being used, and they're probably going to have this as a rabbit pulled out of their ass, and they're like, some goofy-ass movie or possibly the Loki show or something like that. But realistically, it's like, they keep using this word, but I don't believe that the word is in reference to whom the character is within the Marvel, but they're going to make it be that because a lot of people are going to speculate because they keep using that word. You see what I mean? You know, it's going to be like, well, the byproduct of people just using this constantly is going to make this thing come into being. It literally happened within the Thor Love and Thunder movie, but I'm pretty sure that they're going to expand upon it on greater detail. I mean, the Thor Love and Thunder movie, it was dumb, but they're going to make it even worse. And how much you want to bet that the Secret Wars are just going to be people fighting Kang and then them just, like, a lot of people just not knowing about it, when in actuality, that's not what the Secret Wars was at all. But it's not like they care. So, zippity doo da zippity day, Disney made another bitch ass movie. Yeah, this was ultimately, this was a waste of time. If I say anything, this was a waste of time. But hey, do with that what you will. I understand why I got a bad review on Rotten Tomatoes, but at the same time, hey, do with that what you will. I don't like referencing or talking about those sites anyway, so, you know, like, do with that what you will. Oh boy. Yeah. So this has been another episode of Fun with Flame. I've been your host, Daniel the Flame. And as always, good people, I hope you had fun.